right, Sam, we'll fade this one out to get started here. Roger Sales and Wes, my buddy Wes with me from Wisconsin here, jaw-jacking about people's freedom. It's what we do around here, you know. FOIA is very powerful, Wes, and I as I was saying as we got out of the trail and into that break, I'm sure most of the audience is familiar with a guy named Tom Fitton, who's an attorney, and he's with an organization called Judicial Watch, and they've been highly successful at uncovering a bunch of skullduggery. They get all their information using FOIA. And if they don't respond, they take them to court. And the judge makes the agency release the information.
Yep.
And they do many of them and that they found them where they hid stuff and lied about it, and they find them that they throw in accidentally in other requests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, well, the reason I was mentioning the whole bit with the return receipts and whatnot is one thing that is very helpful is to make friends with the postmaster.
Yeah,
Coming back to, because I kind of infuriated my wife here by me wanting to check all the time on this stuff. And the postmistress, she went down and talked to her back, what was Friday, I think. And I told her, take the slips down there and just take them down there and just have her check. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. And how the gal says, oops, looks like he got lost in Milwaukee. Well,
there you go. It's amazing how they can track stuff. They can track that kind of crap. Imagine how they can track you.
Exactly. And the funniest part was Saturday morning I got email update from the post office saying, oops, we found it. It's here at our office. And then today I got one saying, moving on to its destination facility.
Okay, fantastic. We should be getting it this week, though.
Yep.
I've had a lot of people. I mean, it's amazing. Here's what happens when you send it to some big operation like the State Department. All those agencies got mail rooms, okay, and all that stuff gets dumped. They go over. Somebody goes over to the post office. They usually got a box. They bring duffel bags of mail back, and they dump it all out and sort it to whoever's going to get it. And they're the ones that are doing that stamping and signing and stuff. And somebody got one back that wasn't signed and freaked out about it. you folks amaze me. And went down to the post office, and they went back and found out who signed the damn thing or who received it. So it's amazing what they can do. But the point being is that once it's put in the mail, it's considered received. Okay, it's always nice to have that. That's why you pay extra and get it. But then what you want to do, are you guys going to apply for passport cards too, Wes?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely planning that because I had one.
That's a very good idea.
So
there's another thing in state that people can do that's very interesting, and you can get your affidavit registered with your State Department of Motor Vehicles this way. If you don't have a driver's license, okay, Mike could do this with your minor children, all right? You go down to the driver's license division and get a state-issued ID, which looks just like a driver's license but is identification. And when you go through that process, give them a copy of the affidavit. They'll scan it in, and it'll be connected to that picture ID.
Yes. Yeah, I went ahead a year ago now, a little over. I gave up my driver's license because I'm about 90% blind.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, bud.
Yep, and I figured it was not safe for me to be out on the boat anymore.
Well, listen, I've been fighting this macular degeneration stuff for a few years, and I really started attacking it real heavy about a year or so ago, a little more. And one of my listeners sent me some products that allowed him to not use glasses anymore. Okay. And I didn't use it correctly for the first half of it that I had it. And then I talked with him and he got me straightened out, and I've been using it correctly. And I really feel like I've seen some change. Okay. And for anybody that's got eye problems, here's a website I'm going to put into a search engine. You can find the website. It's CAN C, the letter C, Can C. And it's a regimen of pills and eye drops that you do twice a day. And you put them in for, and then wait 10 minutes, put them in again twice a day. And a very impressive product. So you may want to look into that, Wes.
Yeah, I think I probably will, because what it is with me, it's that I've had so many retinal hemorrhages.
They got some kind of pills that are specifically oriented to retina health. I've got an email into them right now, but that's what I want. I'm focusing in on too. But I just want to get some more of it because I think it's a good product. But for anybody else out there, especially geared to cataracts, okay, and no matter what stage, evidently. So you can go to the website and read about it. But pretty good product. And since you mentioned that, I'll mention it here on the air because I've been on it today, trying to get some ordered.
Yeah.
So anyway, what else can we do you for, Wes?
Well, like I said, I just figured I'd go ahead and give a call just to encourage people that if their stuff seems to be taking too long to get back to them, that they should talk to their local postmaster and say, can you trace this for me?
Yeah, if you're nervous about it. Now, are you going to file it locally, too? Are you going to file it locally? Some people, you don't have to. It's not a requirement, but some people want to, and they just figure it gives them an extra layer, and they can sleep better at night. So if that makes you sleep better at night, I encourage you to do it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But that means going to your county courthouse, and you go into the property records office, and you plop it down on the desk and tell them you want it filed in the property records office. And hopefully they won't call the sovereign citizen squad on you. Some places are, you know, more sensitive about it than others. You're not doing anything illegal. Their job's to file stuff. And so people ask, well, why do you file it at the property records office, right?
Yep. Yeah, well, officer.
Well, being a trained salesman, I try to answer a question with a question. So when I get that question, I ask them, where does the IRS file their notices of liens?
You know, property office.
Exactly right. Why? Because you're their property.
Yep. Or that they think you are.
Well, no, you are. You are, and you've agreed to it, unfortunately. But it is based on fraud. That's why they got to recognize this. Okay. But if you go look at a notice of lien. I hope you've never gotten one put on you that you've had to look at. But if you ever see one, there's three pieces of information on that document. There's your name in all caps, where you live, and the amount of money that they say you owe. Okay? Well, my question has been for many years, I have no idea how many these things have been filed, tens or hundreds of million of them, probably since 1954. Okay? But regardless of all those people that have had liens, notices of liens, what they are technically filed against them, how many of them you think lived in a rental house or an apartment? 20%, 25%. Okay, so they don't live in a house they own, and they can't put the lien on the money. So where do you think the lien's placed?
Yep, on your butt.
It's on your head. Yep, it's on your head. And yep. This is the old Jewish shetar, and it's the system that was in England. And when you get one of those put on you, they make you an object of their property rights to the extent that no matter what income comes into your hands, they can seize, levy, garnish, whatever they want, come take it from you until the debt's satisfied. Once the debt's satisfied, the document and the burden is lifted.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's the plan. That's the scheme.
Yep. Yep.
We got, and I was mentioning it. I was mentioning it to somebody on a private consultation yesterday, and it really rang a bell with her because she'd heard it before and didn't know what it was. And the way she heard it was fighting in a court over something. I forget the issue, but she was arguing with a judge, and he came out and says, it's a star chamber. Oh, I know what she did. She went just to kind of find out about what goes on at court. She went to traffic court. She didn't have a ticket or anything, and she just went to traffic court and sat there and watched the proceeding, you know. She said, Roger, there wasn't one person that was not guilty. I said, well, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, okay? And then she hung around, and then they confronted her. What are you hanging around the courtroom for? And she starts a dialogue with the judge, and in the dialogue, he mentions the term star chamber. She said, look, there wasn't one person here that wasn't guilty. And in the dialogue that followed, he mentioned the word star chamber. Are you familiar with star chamber, Wes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Well, the audience, it might not be. This was when it started with King Henry VIII, and he took this successful system that they had imposed to be able to make the merchants come back where this statute staple, Shetar, was instituted, and they made you property when they put one on you. Well, the Jews, when they let them back into England, they were originally the king's property. He had a property right in them. It's exactly reverse to what we're dealing with, okay? And so they would use them as tax collectors because the king didn't want to get a bad reputation as having his heavy-handed guys go out and put the leverage on these guys. So he got these creeps with their reputation and their damn tendencies, and he stuck them in there as the tax collectors. And so the Star Chamber was a room where they would bring you if you were delinquent in your taxes. And supposedly there was a big chest over in the corner, and they'd open it up and they'd pull out a Jewish Shetar. Star Chamber Shetar. And then they'd put you on the torture machines to get it out of you. That's Star Chamber.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's sort of like what Her Dishonor, Liz Cheney's trying to do. Her, she's trying to run her own version of the Star Chamber. And,
she sure is. She's up there soliciting Democratic voters in Wyoming to switch parties and vote for her.
Yep. Yep. It's just,
these traitor families that have been so entrenched and ensconced in running this country and running it downhill like they've done for so many years. Tall trees, short ropes.
Yep. Yep. It's part of what ticks me off so much with the Republican Party not having any cojones is the fact that one of my ancestors was who wrote down the original Republican Charter. I'm from Ripon, Wisconsin, which is basically arguably the home of the Republican Party. And he was the one, hate to admit it, he was a lawyer, but at that time the lawyers were still relatively honest. And he was actually the one who wrote the darn thing up, the charter, and was the first one to sign it. So
you got some pockets of conservatism up there, Appleton. Although I'm not a big John Birch guy, they're a counterculture organization. They're counter-controlled, okay? I can pretty well prove that. Have you ever heard of a guy named Colonel Jack Moore? He's dead now.
The name kind of rings a bell, but not exactly.
Well, he was the first man captured or the first man released by the North Koreans, and they kept him in captivity over there for a number of years. And I've heard him talk on the air and tell his story. And they do things, too. I think he said they did it like 9 or 10 times. They'd come in and tell him they're about to execute him that morning, give him a last meal, blindfold him, take him out into the yard, and have 21 chambers fall on empty chambers. Okay? So they put him through a lot of psychological torture. And, of course, when he got released, came back to the States, and because John Birch was founded to fight communists, he was automatically a star, you know. And he was John Birch's number one speaker at that point on tour. And he got turned onto this Zionism stuff about halfway through the tour. He's from Arkansas, and I think he was in Little Rock. And he gave a talk, and he included the Zionism stuff. And the next day, the John Birch Society took him off tour and kicked him out of the organization.
Yeah, and I think Thumper has a good-sized liking for the John Birch Society, and I think he's already played some of their stuff, but...
They got great information, but they only take you halfway to the trough.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so it's kind of, kind of interesting.
Just between us girls, Wes... Thumper likes Q too, okay? I don't say anything. I keep my mouth shut, but no unidentified sources. Don't come at me with any identified anonymous sources, okay? I don't want to see it. Don't want to hear it.
Yep. That's the biggest pitfall they have in their reporting these days on the mainstream spew machine. They have all their anonymous sources who don't know what their butts from a hole in the ground.
So they're just giving misinformation, you know. And the ones that are really anonymous in their sources, like the one that leaked that advanced Roe v. Wade document out of the Supreme Court, well, they just don't get identified, do they?
Nope. Nope. And that person, I don't know if you heard my wife there or not, but her comment was they should take the guy out and shoot him.
You know, me and your wife would get along real good. Because, you know, it's like the old saying, this is the sewer department, and we're tired of your crap.
Yep. Well, like she was just commenting back there. She says she can't wait for this until the Nuremberg 2 trials start.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting subject, the Nuremberg trials. A lot of people are bringing that up. To confront our enemies with it. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I do shows and have become good friends with a guy named Brent Winters, who's a national treasure. Well, you know Brent. You know through Patriot Soapbox. When Brent was in law school, he had a professor that was a retired JAG. That's, a military lawyer. Okay. And he was the front man for the Nuremberg trials. Now, he told him this in class, okay? He was the front man that was tapped to go over and set up the Nuremberg trials. And they had a huge decision to make as to what body of law they were going to try him under. Have you ever heard this before? I never had. I've never seen it written or talked about. If it wasn't for Brent having this guy as a professor at college in law school, we wouldn't know it, okay? But this is interesting. They went over, and because under the law of the city, I was just following orders is a legal defense, they tried them at Nuremberg under the common law. And all these people are going to try and apply the Nuremberg results in our body of law that ain't common law, except for us.
Yep. Well,
isn't that interesting? I mean, that's really, really interesting to me. It says a lot about these creeps, of course, but that's a true story, and has got a lot of bearing on whether we could use Nuremberg against those folks or not. Now, if a whole bunch of us file affidavits, maybe start going having grand juries and buster this little renegade band up, we may could start doing some of that. But that's down the line a long ways, and I don't know how we get there from here. I just know I think it's possible, but. Because my mind races in those kind of possibilities for this project and what this information and the power of it can do for us. But anyway, that the Nuremberg people were convicted under common law.
Yep. And,
I got a couple of people that have lined up here, Wes. If you got questions, I want to answer them, but I don't want to keep these folks hanging too long. So what's your comment?
That's okay. Thank you for your time again, sir.
Okay, Wes. Well, look, hug your wife for me and give her a big old smoochie on the cheek there, or the lips better, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay. Take care.
All right, thanks. Okay, you too, Wes. Cuidarte is the way we say it in Spanish. Who's next, Sam? Laurie in New Hampshire. Now, Laurie's become a regular.
Hi there, Roger.
Hi, Laurie.
I am happy to say that on June 29th, I filed my affidavit.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The reason I'm not super excited yet because this was before I heard Wes speak, but my letter did not receive any sort of informative tracking information until today. So it was basically in limbo for 10 days, and I live in New Hampshire, so I could have driven it to Washington, D.C. quicker.
Well,
it was,
you know,
hung
Lord,
up in Boston, an hour from here, and so I was really nervous because according to the tracking, I'm going to read it to you, it says, your item arrived at our Washington, D.C. distribution destination facility on July 10th at 8:21 a.m. The item is currently in transit to the destination. So
okay.
I heard, you know, that Wes was waiting for his too, but I have to admit I was really freaking out before I heard that this is a new thing that they're doing, is that they're refusing the mail. So you don't think that they're refusing our affidavits?
No, I don't. But what I do know that's happening is the post office got big problems internally. Okay.
Okay.
And they got big, because they can't find anybody, for one thing, that wants to work. We know that one of the postal ballot homes real good, real close with my mom. And so we know that from her. And a recent example I had is, you know, I like to take supplements and stuff. I got a bunch of these eye things that I'm, you know, ordering and wanting to have. And you don't ship stuff to Ecuador. Or you don't ship stuff to foreign countries, not a good idea generally. And the reason for that is because of the hassle that you put the recipient in. Because anything that comes into a country goes straight to customs. So now you got to go to customs. You got to sit there and go through that bureaucracy. They bring out whatever somebody sent you, and they open it to investigate and examine it. And if it's over $50, they start charging 20-something percent tax on it and all this other garbage, okay? And it takes up a half a day or more to go do it. And so what we try and do is have people coming back and forth. And recently I found a mule service. It's such a big business that there are people that actually schedule flights back and forth, mainly to Miami, and they'll bring stuff back for you, but they charge you for it, okay?
Mm.
So anyway, I had some pills and stuff that was real important, and I had been having them shipped to my mom's in the panhandle there, and I needed to get them down to Miami, or first of all, up to D.C., because there's a guy from here that was staying up there, travels up there a lot, and was going to bring them back. And so I had a set amount of time to get them up there, and my friend went over and took them to the post office and paid for second day priority. And it took 14 days to get it up.
Oh my God.
And I missed it. And I missed the flight and the guy, you know. So, and that's when I started asking questions about our friend, the friendly little mail gal. And that's what she came back with. Said, post office got big problems. They can't fire any, you can't find any help. And so, whatever. I mean, like everything else in our world, Lori, is starting to break down.
Yeah.
There are no telling how many. Well, of course, the post office employees were exempt from the jab, you know. Remember that? They exempted the post office. And so I don't know if we can blame it on vaccidents or not, but that certainly has an effect on, well, it's got our whole society affected.
And so now they're required to take the jab?
No, I don't think so. But I couldn't blame the fact that they're screwing up on all of them getting vaccinated.
No, yeah. Well, I've been noticing problems with the post office for years, sending letters back and forth with my best friend in Florida, and we couldn't believe how long it would take to get a letter back and forth, and some of our mail actually got lost. There was a real problem with it, and yet when we were kids, we'd send something and get it the next day. But so I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. So it sounds like I shouldn't be too worried. Maybe by tomorrow they'll sign it, and I just know I'll feel better when I get that green card in the mail.
Don't get all freaked out. Don't major on the minors here. That's the fact that you got it in the mail. They should have received it, and you've got remedies if they haven't. And so don't be nervous about it. And I understand people are nervous about this, and it just takes a little while. This is a process, Lori, and your confidence is going to grow the more that you've been in grade with the information. The better you understand it, the more confidence you're going to have in your position, and then you're going to start going out and talking to people about it, and that's where you're really going to gain that. Because as they used to, there's a saying in teaching, if you want to learn something, teach it. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
And that's really true, because it exposes to you what you don't know. I mean, they don't know anything. It makes you become very cognizant of what you don't have a handle on or don't know. And that's why you learn even more than they do, probably. But, you know, I've tried. I've been striving for many years to get this as simple as possible. And it's a very complex situation, as you know, and the people that have studied this, okay? And to simplify it, because that's what is going to be critical in our success here, is to make it simple and make it duplicatable. We got the other ingredient, and that's a ready market, because people are waiting and wanting these answers now. And 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. I mean, I'd almost have to be like a caveman and go out and beat people over the head and drag them back to the cave to show it to them, you know?
I think my two concerns, and I think that I am, I have to admit, nervous about would be the any money that I owe to the IRS, not going forward, you know, not filing going forward, but money that they could say, well, if you owe money in the past, you were under the previous status. That would be my fear, is somehow
if they wanted
saying
to come
you
and,
were delinquent on your taxes from the past.
If they wanted to come back and audit you, they could probably do that. But I think my feeling with all these agencies and the Secretary of State is they don't want to do any offensive action against anybody because, first of all, they don't have the authority to anymore. And secondly, if they did come after you and they didn't have the authority, they're potentially bringing something into open light where you've got recourse and can go after them, and this information get exposed, and that's exactly what they don't want.
So are you saying, if I understand this correctly, are you saying that even though I did not have the free status when those taxes were owed, that I could still say you don't have authority over me because I didn't have an option at the time? I mean, how would I be able to argue not paying something that was owed from before I became free?
If you want to get real technical about it, I think they can go back 7 years on an audit.
Yes, they can.
Okay, well, then they could, if they really were egregious enough and wanted to come screw with you, I suppose they could come and put that forward, but you'd have an opportunity and a reason to fight them, too, you know? And so now you've got something in your back pocket to come back with them on that's foundationally solid that you wouldn't have had before if you wouldn't have done this. So, I would think that if they were going to do something like that, that I'd at least heard one example of it in the 11 years I've been doing this, and I've never heard one. Again, I've never gotten one phone call from anybody that's had one problem in their life that was attributed to filing this status change document.
Frequently. Okay. I'm just wondering if you've known of anybody who has owed any taxes. Just a small amount, but nevertheless, it's money that I'd rather keep.
No, I don't. And I always advise people, if they're in that situation, before you do this and put the IRS on notice, get a clean slate. Go back and do, if you can, whatever it takes to get a clean slate. Now, here's an interesting scenario. If you owed them money, let's say, and they do what's called an offer and compromise, okay.
In that option,
this is the interesting part here. In that option, one of the things they make you sign a contract. What they're wanting you to do is get you back into the pen with all the other sheep. I don't think they're that concerned with a piddly amount of money. Okay, so they want to get you back in filing, all right, and in the system. And so they do is they come in whatever agreement you reach with them, and they will say in your contract that you sign on whatever agreement you reach is a stipulation that you file 1040s for the next 5 years. Right?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah,
How about this? How about you do an offer and compromise, and you sign that agreement, and then you file your affidavit, and you start filing zero returns.
Well, my goal, what I was going to do, is start filing zero returns. This is my original thought, was I was going to stop filing returns from here on, stop paying them.
Well, good
idea. But allow them to continue to take out the money they're taking monthly to pay off that previous debt. So that way slam me and say you didn't pay your taxes that you owed. I felt like that might be the clean slate to say, okay, I'll pay those older, because it's a small amount of money, compared to what some people are dealing with.
Don't build an idea, a fictional idea, into a monster in your mind. We got a break here. Just hold on, Lori. We'll be right back when Sam finishes paying some bills here.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right. See if we can't get that potted down, get back into the meat of the matter. Roger Sales here and my live free or die friend Lori. And Lori, I'm trying to calm her down a little bit and see if I can get her soothed, because I don't like people getting nervous about this. I want you to get a bunch of self-confidence. And what I'd like for you to concentrate on, Lori, you almost want to use it like a mantra. This is my choice, not theirs.
Yep.
Okay.
I just it's one of the worst things as somebody who is in the public eye. I do my business. It would devastate me to have them ruin my reputation by saying, oh, look, this woman doesn't pay her taxes. And of course, the people aren't going to understand what that means.
Well, that's your chance to explain it to them. And you say, I pay every lawful tax that I'm obligated to pay, by God.
I would definitely say that. But I don't know. I mean, so you had started to say something before the break when I had mentioned the idea of paying the owed tax, not going forward, but the owed tax for clean slate, and you started to say something I just wanted to return to that about not feeding the monster.
Why don't we do what, Ted Kennedy turned to Mary Jo, and he said, we'll drive off that bridge when we get to it. Don't make hobgoblins in your mind. I mean, it's never happened to anybody, Lori. Why are you so paranoid it's going to happen to you? Now, here's a question for you, though. What type of business do you have?
Well, I don't want to say too much aloud, but I'm a consultant, so I run my own business.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Are you familiar with private membership associations?
I've been hearing about them just recently and learning about everything that you've been teaching.
Well, this isn't my ballywick, but I'm aware of them, and I'm talking with one of the guys that helps set people up in them right now, and trying to get him into
our stuff. I'd love to connect with him then.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe I'll have him on the show one day or something. But anyway, his name's Mike. We're supposed to talk again. We talked about a month ago, and he was going on vacation for a week that afternoon. So I don't think I had his full attention. He didn't have a lot of time, obviously. But we're scheduled to talk again Wednesday. And they're very interesting. A private membership association is you have bylaws and stuff, and you would take your business. Let's say you had something where you had a grocery store, okay? Or, okay, I'll just say that. But you didn't want to get a license to do it, and you didn't want to have to go through all that rigmarole that a regular grocery store would have to go through. And so what you could do is to put it into one of these entities, a private membership association, and then your customers come in, and you may give them a 50-cent surcharge on their first order or something, and they have to be members of your organization, and then they're private, just like what we are. When you change status, you become a private citizen. And this is a private organization, okay? And so it goes real well with what we do, and I think that what we have people changing status is a really good backstop for a PMA. In other words, you could go on there and change status and do that anyway, but mm-hmm. they can't, and what's going on in the background right now, and these things are starting, like you said, be talked about, people are moving into them, and they're trying to pierce one right now. You know, what the feds will do, and they'll come in and try and pierce a veil on one and then use it as precedent for everybody else they want to screw with, okay?
Yeah.
And there's a group of Amish up there that have some sort of a co-op. I don't know if it's vegetables and fruit and raw milk or whatever, but the feds are trying to pierce that right now. And it's still in the early stages, I think. We'll find out how it turns out. But you see, this is where what I've been thinking about lately is the PMA people need us, but we don't necessarily need them. But it really is a nice working relationship for some people, and it's got a bright future, you know, as long as the feds don't screw with it. And that's why I think he want, because when we talked, we asked him, I was on with a couple other people, and said, did you ever get asked about this status stuff? He said, only every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, makes
so,
sense.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'll keep the audience apprised of that as we go forward, but it's a very interesting option. An alternative, if people didn't know about it, you might want to look into it, private membership associations.
Sure, yeah, that's definitely something I'd be interested in. But just
kinda
going
like
back
a trust,
to that...
You know, you're kind of going like a trust in a way, not exactly. Of course, there's differences, but it's along those lines where we can protect ourselves and stuff, you know, our stuff.
Yeah.
These guys got enough money and enough stuff they've already enlisted from us. They don't need any more.
Yeah, it'd be great especially if there was some legal advice that they could provide for people under common law. the thing is, as you had mentioned, drive that car off the bridge when we get there. But the problem is the IRS is withdrawing this small amount of money from my account every month. So if I were to just cut that off, you know,
Are you talking about what you pay in withholding, or are you talking about they're already...
No. I'm not talking about my quarterly taxes, because those are all up to date, and I can just stop filing those, paying those.
Okay.
I'm talking about money I owed from 2021 previously, before I did this free status, and they're withdrawing... We did not do an offer and compromise. I did a different compromise with them, where they I agreed to a monthly amount that I mm-hmm. felt was fair, and they're just withdrawing that from my account digitally. So if I were to just stop that...
No, you don't want to stop that.
I don't know what would happen.
No. You agreed to it. You don't want to stop that.
Yeah.
I didn't get that out of your question.
So. Yeah.
No, you don't want to stop that. Pay the little bloodsuckers off. In fact, you may want to approach them and say, I just want to pay this in one lump sum if you got the money. What's left here?
It's about $7,000, so I don't have the, I can't do the lump sum, but I could probably do it in a little while.
Okay, well, wait. I mean, I don't want to delve into your personal financial stuff, but I'm just throwing out ideas, not for you, but for other people, too.
Well,
but
that's my hope, is that I can just pay it off and be done with them.
You want these creeps out of your hair. You know, you're lucky it cost me $35,000, okay? So, but you want to get a clean slate with these bastards, all right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, the ideal candidate comes to me and wants suggestions and advice that's got a clean slate. You're not bringing any baggage with you. Okay, that's the ideal candidate. If you're bringing baggage, especially individuals representing Satan, you want to do your very best to go back and clean that up and get a clean slate.
Exactly.
Somehow.
I think that's what I was trying to convey to you, is that my intuition was telling me, let them keep withdrawing that money that I agreed on, clean the slate with the old money, and then from here on, I'm just not going to file anymore.
Taxes. No, you don't need to. Well, you don't need to if you don't have any 877
or
877B.
Yeah,
and you put
I'm all paid
notice.
Up for quarter three, and I was just going to not, I mean, now up to quarter two, and I was just not going to pay from quarter two on for 2022, then just pay off that old balance.
I think that ought to work, you know. Let me know if you run into any problems. We'll do
what
we can, you know. This is not...
Because it was an agreement. It was an agreement. They send me a lot of scary letters saying, if you don't do this, and...
They don't do anything without a contract.
Yeah.
That's what a 1040 form is.
Yeah.
That's why they will not accept. You could write them one with $1 billion you owe them and unsign it, and they'll send it back to you. Okay? Because this is a statute staple. It's a Jewish shetar. And it's got to have a recognizance, and it's got to be signed under seal. And if it doesn't meet those two criteria, it doesn't qualify as a specialty contract we call in the UCC that we call a statute staple. That's what they called it in England for hundreds of years, and originally has been known as a Jewish shetar, S-H-E-T-A-R. I should promote here while we're on that idea, Lori, is there. If you want to know more about this, there was a really, really scholarly article written that was published in the Georgetown Law Review back in the 70s, and it was written by a Jewess named Judith Shapiro, and it's entitled, I think the title is How the Jewish Shetar Invaded the English Common Law, and it's all the background on this, and it's all the background on our tax system, because we brought that over, and that's what they're using on us. But
could you repeat the title?
I will in a whole second. The author, Miss Shapiro, somehow, I'm sure it was just an oversight, somehow forgot to mention in that lengthy article, very detailed, that the Jewish shetar is a 1040 form. Yeah, it's called, I believe, it's over on the right side of my sovereigntosurf.com website, Sovereign to Surf, and it's over on the right side. There's a picture of me there. It's over to the right of that in a reference section, and that may not be the exact title, but it's somewhere close. You'll be able to find it. But there's another really important resource, or there's several, actually. But the other one that is really good for any of you, if you're interested in learning this stuff and getting a firm foundation where you can't let people pull wool over your eyes telling you it's maritime admiralty law garbage, okay? There's a book over there called Historical Jurisprudence. And it was written in the 1930s and published by John Hopkins University. And it's about what exactly it says it is, the history of jurisprudence. And the reason that you may want to read it is the first 90 pages, an easy read, it's not legalese stuff. First 90 pages is on the history and the origin of the Babylonian Merchant Code. And that's what's ruling us right there. And you will get valuable background, foundation, and insight if you have the initiative and go read that 90 pages. You'll know more than...
Oh, definitely. I love reading that type
That's a fabulous resource. Let me give you... speaking of Admiralty Maritime, let me show you how this plays in there. And I would never knew this, and I doubt if anybody hardly has ever read that book knows it. In Babylon, Babylon was the great merchant city. The Babylonian code originated evidently in Samaria, of the previous culture, but it was solidified and perfected, at least, and finalized, if you will, in Babylon. Okay, and so Babylon's great contribution to the world, as it says in this book, Babylon's great contribution to the world was it reduced everything in the society down to the abstract form of contract. And so Babylon, of course, was a trading center, huge. And so if you had a caravan that you went and borrowed money to finance, a trade caravan, and if it was over the sea and you didn't come back, the heirs didn't have to pay back the loan. But if it was over land, they did. So what the Babylonians are telling you is they had their own version of merchant law, of maritime law, and that they recognized an act of God. Okay? So that's the kind of things you get out of reading something like that. And
yeah.
It talks about how you can enslave yourself and how they call us goyim and all that kind of stuff, and you're his servant and all that garbage. So all the basis of this stuff's in there. This is another interesting thing. When Babylon, when you signed your contract, you know, today we do it under penalty of perjury, right?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do it under penalty of perjury back then. When you signed your contract, the priests from the temple came out and said an incantation as you signed it over your oath.
Oh, my God.
So it would bind you to it. Guess who the priests became?
Who?
The bankers.
The bankers?
The priests also in the early days back then, at the very first fairs where people would get together, you might say bazaars, priests were the ones that set the prices.
My God.
Oh, interesting history, see? And, you know, here we are today, and you go, holy smokes, you know? And that was thousands of years ago, and you can see where we are. But, yeah, very good read, very good resources over there. There's another interview, an audio interview with a really, really, I hope he's still with us. His name's Dr. Robert Livingston, and he was a professor emeritus at Emory University, and he was one of the founders of the League of the South, and then they had some kind of a urinating match, and he and some of his buddies went off and founded another research foundation that's called the Abbeville Institute. It's from, like, Abbeville, South Carolina, and there's no Y in there, A-B-B-E-V-I-L-L-E, I believe is the spelling, you can go over to YouTube and put in Abbeville Institute. They got a whole YouTube channel with a bunch of very distinguished historical researchers and speakers there.
Wow.
But this one that's on my website is a talk that Dr. Livingston gave years ago when he was still with the League of the South on some of the events, historical events surrounding the 14th Amendment. And there's some really interesting stuff in there, okay? And one of the things that caught my ear the first time I heard it, was he said, evidently, after the Civil War, states can no longer secede, but evidently counties can. Now, isn't that provocative? Okay? And so it got my antenna up, and I got a hold of the guy, got the tape through, and he knew Dr. Livingston. He called him, and Dr. Livingston said, oh, that was so long ago. We know a lot more since then, when he gave that speech. But the reason that he said it was because after the Civil War, they took one county in Virginia and made West Virginia. And that's valid today, because just a couple of years ago when they had that blue blood Democrat egg-sucking dog governor up there that was having them threatening to take away their guns, and they had that big demonstration up there, I saw Tucker Carlson now had a West Virginia legislator on there who open-armed and invited any counties in Virginia that wanted to come over and join West Virginia were welcome. That was in the last couple of years. So, evidently, counties can. Now, isn't that interesting? Well, that gives us some precedent, doesn't it? It's like if we got 150, 200 people out there in Flathead County, Montana, and they wanted to hire them a friendly sheriff, they could investigate seceding and be in their own state. Isn't that a neat deal? Okay? So, you see, we don't know where this can go, but we know that the more people that know about it, understand it, and take action on it, and make up a stronger group of people, that gives us all kinds of potential possibilities. That's what we know.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say one thing for you. You had mentioned eyesight. I just discovered, somewhat by accident, that black seed oil also helps with eyesight. I was taking it for another reason. I just recently, in the last year, was developing dry eye and some blurriness, and I've been, you know, using some naturopathic treatments for that. But when I got sick, I had a pneumonia. I stopped taking the black seed oil because it just was turning my stomach while I was sick. So I stopped taking it for about 2 weeks, and I started noticing dramatically that my eyes were getting blurry again after they blurry had again. Been progressing.
How are you taking it?
Oh, I take it by spoonful. Like, I take a spoonful every day. And it was amazing how... So I started taking it again, and my eyes were improving again. So I just wanted to give you that other option. Thanks. Black seed oil.
I'll look into ordering some, see if I can find out who's got some.
Yeah, they say it's the remedy for everything but death is the saying about it.
Okay. And if you've got those problems, you may want to look into that product I was talking
about. I did write that down.
Can C. It's out of England, I think, but... they obviously distribute in the U.S., but they've even got a whole package for dogs if your dog's got cataracts. So for anybody that's got in that situation, you might want to look at that too. But it's a good product, and I'm saying that for personal usage here, even though I used the first half of it incorrectly. So,
well, also, if anybody has an astigmatism or anything for their eyes, I wanted to also pass on the William H. Bates model. They are not allowing him, he's from the 1800s, he was curing people with all kinds of eyesight issues, so they no longer needed glasses. Well, obviously his books are, you know, banned, and so they have new ways of being able to change the title, but if you can get a hold of the Bates method, that also can help with eyesight as well. I've been trying to do some of the exercises, they're very complex.
Yeah, his books are right up on the shelf with Raymond Rife's, don't you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do everything naturopathically. I've been on the paleo diet. It's reversed Crohn's disease. It's, you know, there are ways out of this, you know, not just out of the system in one way, but ways get out of the school system by homeschooling, get out of the medical system treating yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hold it, Laurie. I'm sorry. I lost track of time. I got two callers. I don't want to get them hung up here out to dry. Thank you. I'm sorry to the callers. Let's get them on there, Sam. See you, Laurie. Well, Sheldon's calling again. Hey, Sheldon.
How you doing, buddy? Not enough time for my five things. I just want to ask you one. What's that called? C2C?
Can, C-A-N hyphen C, the letter C. Can C. Put that in a search engine. See, you'll find their website.
I'll do that. I'll call earlier next week. Have a good week.
Okay. I'm sorry, Sheldon, that we didn't get to him, but they'll hold for next week. Yes, who's the last? Who's the tail gunner here? Nancy in California. How you doing?
Just fine. I'm going to go real fast because we're at almost the end of the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Here. I apologize.
It's okay. So I just wanted to clarify on the John Birch Society. John Birch was not the one who founded it.
John That's Birch correct. Was no, a guy named Welch founded it.
Exactly.
A guy named Robert Welch. And you know how he got the money to found it?
Yes, according to Revelo P. Oliver. Do you know who Revelo P. Oliver was?
I'm not familiar with him.
Revelo P. Oliver was one of the founders, and Revelo P. Oliver, according to William F. Buckley, was one of the most erudite men he had ever met. He was a university professor. He actually hired some investigators because he found that they were just spinning their wheels, wasting, you know, they would try to go forward with an effort, and Robert Welch would torpedo it. He would interfere, and so there was wasted time and wasted money at the last minute over and over again.
Yep.
Revelo Caliber was also angry that Welch would not talk about the Zionist Jewish power over our
connection
country.
Right,
yeah, and he hired some investigators, and he found out that they were controlled opposition from the get-go.
Yep. You know, so, where he was heir to the Welch, you know, the little peppermint candies Welch, he was heir to that company. He sold that company to the Rockefellers and started it with that money. And this very day, John Birch Society has an overdraft protection at the Chase Manhattan Bank.
Well, that was a very convenient story, but basically he was just bought off. He was, you know, I don't even think he needed to probably be bought up. He's probably a Freemason and a member of their... But anyway, and then according to my accountant on the IRS, if the IRS determines purposeful fraud, they can go back indefinitely, not just 7 years.
Oh, okay. Okay, if there's fraud involved, okay. I can understand that. Yeah.
All right, thanks. Enjoy your show.
Nancy,
bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Well, we're about over it now. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else? I don't know if you got time. We're clear. Okay. Well, let's see. What can I talk about here? I invite all of you, if you can, and you can either listen on a podcast or you can join us or even just listen live on our weekday show. And we have, like I said, a number of very intelligent people over there that are very long students and have very good command of this information. And we really, really welcome new students. The platforms for new people, okay? Because I understand better than probably any of you how confusing this stuff can be at first, okay? And it turns your mind upside down because your whole world has been based on an upside down model. And you got to go back in, realize what's going on, attach real definitions to real words, and start getting your conscious and your subconscious working in tandem again instead of acting oppositely like it's doing right now. And you'll be amazed at the empowerment process that you'll personally go through as you go through the process. It's not an event. The event is when you found the information or the information found you, whichever one of those applies. The process is probably lasts the rest of your life. And the reason I say that is because I've been totally immersed in this for 30 years, about to go on my 30th year here in another few days, actually. And I'm still realizing stuff I've never realized before, okay? And I know it inside and out. And as well as I know this information as well as anybody on our side in the entire world, okay? And what I'm trying to do is get a whole bunch of you other folks to know it as well, equally well, or to that point, and see if we can make something go here. Because it's like the fasci. You know, the fasci is the symbol that there's two of them back in the well of the Senate behind the podium there. And it's a Roman symbol, and it's the reeds lashed together with the axe handle in the middle. And you see, I see down the line that that's what we've got the potential to be, okay? We got vast numbers of people that are angry as hell. They're looking for answers. And here's something that is effective, simple. We can literally have a revolution from your own house. You know, next time you go by the post office, buy some stamps, pick up some green return receipt requested forms, get home, type it up, print it, put those on and let the mailman take it for you. Never even have to leave the outlaw line, okay? So ease of involvement and power in numbers, and that's what we've got here, okay? And potentially we're getting there a little bit more every day, and hopefully maybe I'll see one of these other big platforms, something like SGT Report. Mike Adams has been sniffing around, but I know he's got to be so darn busy he doesn't even have a chance to look at his watch. So I'm sure he'll get to it eventually. And is that a whistler I hear? It's a whistler Sam is playing. That means I don't have to ad lib anymore, Sam. Okay, well, that signifies we're done for the week. I'll see y'all next week or see you during the week. And have a good evening. And I hope you got something out of what we had to say tonight. So see you then. Ciao, ciao. Thanks,
corporate
Sam.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.